You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
You could run a fucking pet rock against right. Donald Trump, and I would vote for the pet rock.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right
Yeah.
now.
Critical.
One of the things that drives me nuts as an atheist is that my polling location is at a church. And I don't necessarily have a problem. I'm not going to like burst into flames walking into a church.
Now, after being on this show and having heard your viewpoints on some things, my advice to you is don't test this. I won't burst into flames.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen the lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey, everybody. Good evening.
Hello.
Saturday night house party at Sarah Talk. Yeah. I have in the studio with me, as always, my lovely wife, Becca, and we're also joined this week by a surprised last-minute guest, Michael Kaplan. Welcome back.
Yes, I'm here.
We are so happy to have you back.
We're
so excited. Michael calls 5 minutes before we go live. I'm almost there.
Hello from the other side.
Dan is here. Russell's here.
Right? Aaron's on. Yep. Everybody in the house.
Dan is able to comment.
Yes.
Welcome
Dan
back,
got his
Dan.
Facebook fixed. So it turns out what happened was
somebody.
Dan blocked us.
I don't think he did.
No, he didn't.
I think somebody hacked his account and blocked us.
Absolutely.
Those bitches.
Right. Who would block little old us?
I don't know.
That's too bad.
Russell says he likes the new clip, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, and thank you to Bob Doyle for
awesome.
contributing to that wonderful bit of audio. I have 11 pages of notes tonight.
Of course you do. Well, we didn't have a normal show last week. We had the interview show, so we missed a lot of stuff.
So, yeah. So we need to, like, jump right into it.
Is that your cue to tell me not to talk?
No.
Oh, wait, cue to tell me not to talk is to pull the blue knob down.
It's when I turn your... Yeah, it's when I push the mute button on your... On your
that's when
it
turns it off. It's like, okay, that's enough.
Okay, so the first few topics I have are kind of a more follow-up on this gun violence stuff that we've been talking about, right? So here's another example of a tragic shooting, which dispels this idea of having a handgun to protect your home. And we'll just get this out of the way right at the top of the show. If you need to skip ahead because you don't want to hear about children and guns, hit the skip button.
Okay.
If you're listening live,
man, I can still hear you with my headphones off.
If you're watching live, come back in a minute.
Damn.
A 7-year-old boy was shot and killed last week when his 5-year-old brother found a gun, the family believes, while looking for candy. The nonprofit data collection group gunviolencearchive.org currently lists over 160 children in the United States between the ages of 0 to 11. Killed or injured by gun violence so far in 2018. 160 children so far. St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports the boy's mother, Michelle Lawson, 37, was too distraught to talk about the child's death, as you would be, and so her god-sister, Erica Jones, has been acting as the family spokesperson. She says they believe the 5-year-old was in the parents' bedroom looking for candy, opened a dresser drawer, found a gun, carried it back to the 7-year-old, Jermon Perry's bedroom, and that's where Jermon was shot as he sat in a chair playing a video game. The gun belonged to Jermon's father, Jericho Perry, 39, who did have a concealed carry permit and probably thought he was a responsible gun owner. Erica said he never thought the kids would get to the gun. And I don't want to put words into the father's mouth here, but let's operate on the assumption that he kept the gun to protect the family, stop an intruder, that sort of thing, right?
Sure.
It was in a holster in the drawer in the dresser, okay? If he had stored the gun properly to prevent the kids being able to get to it, then it wouldn't have been very useful in defending the castle, would it?
No. Yeah, you're right.
Then I can't get to it when the guy busts in my window to steal my TV or whatever people breaking into my house for.
You put it in the safe and you say, hold on.
Yep.
I have to get my weapon.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. If and you could just wait a minute, I'll be right back with you, sir.
I will shoot the hell out of you.
What's really sad about this is that I'm sure he thought it was safe in his bedroom in his dresser drawer. And listen, parents, nothing in your dresser drawer is safe. I can attest to that. I remember being 5, 6, 7 years old and going through my parents' dresser drawers.
Sure.
I remember getting a stool or a chair or whatever because they had this really tall dresser that was it's like probably my height now.
Just nosy as hell.
Just nosy. Yeah. I climb up and go, what's in the top drawer that I can't see and can't reach?
So it turns out, according to the Pew Research Center, 48% of gun owners say they own a gun mainly for protection. Okay? So nearly half of people who own a gun report, I have it to protect myself, to protect my family, to defend against intruders, right? Yet recent data from a Harvard University analysis of figures from the National Crime Victimization Survey looking at data collected from 2007 to 2011 shows that people defended themselves with a gun in a bit less than 1% of the time. Okay? Less than 1% of victims of non-fatal violent crimes used a gun to defend and protect themselves. 0.8%. Okay? And I can hear your argument already. I can hear it. Well, imagine how much better it would be if we all had guns and used them to defend ourselves 99% of the time instead of just 1% of the time. I can hear it.
Can you never do that voice again, please?
It sounds like the Old West to me. You know?
Yeah.
Like, meet me out in the town square and we'll settle this like men.
Right.
With a duel.
At noon. Yeah, right? Like, let's all just carry guns around.
I'm bringing Twizzlers.
You'd think we'd become a civilized society by now.
Nope. Nope. And maybe when it comes to this problem that we have with school shootings, maybe you're thinking, okay, I don't want my kids' teachers packing heat, right? As we did. Mm. And there's news that came out from our school district that of the options that they had to take, one of which was like pay more actual police officers.
Right.
They chose instead to just hire some people to work for the district. Give them the minimum mandatory training of 130 hours or whatever it was. Send them off into the campus with a gun and hope for the best. That's what our school district chose. When they could have... If we're going to have people in schools with guns to defend and protect my children, if we're going to do that, if I allow that premise, that's what's going to happen, then I want it to be a police officer who has continual training requirements.
Right.
Who's trained to deal with high stress situations. Mm-hmm. Who's probably trained to deal with active shooter situations. Mm-hmm. Not some Joe Schmo schmuck off the street who's into guns and wants to be a security guy.
Well, and who also very likely, in most cases, they get this training and they're never going to have to use it, hopefully. You know, and then... But then, like, years go by, and then all of a sudden, now they have to rely on this training that they had years ago.
Right. Okay, so, Aaron says, if my teachers were allowed to carry guns, I would have been dead a long time ago. I know you, Aaron.
Me too.
And I think you're right. Okay, a school in Pennsylvania is taking an entirely different approach. They're handing out miniature baseball bats to all 500 of its teachers.
Nice.
Now, this is only part of their larger plan, but the bats are 16 inches, like the kind you might buy as a souvenir at a baseball game.
We have one of those somewhere. I missed the joke.
I love 16 inches.
Mill Creek,
I don't know what I would do with 16 inches.
Ooh, yikes.
But we can totally...
That's an entirely different show, yes. That's Sarah Talk After Dark.
I had known this was going to come up. I would have had that one we have in the closet back there, and I would have taken it out and shown you.
Yeah.
I got a rainbow
one. So listen.
Go on.
Mill Creek Township School District Superintendent William Hall said the bats could be used as a tool against an active shooter, just like any other item in the immediate classroom, adding that they will remain locked in the classroom and are only to be used in a hard lockdown situation. All I can picture right now is Morgan Freeman as Crazy Joe in Lean on Me. That's all I can see right now. That's it. That's standing outside with the baseball bat.
With a little baseball bat.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Right. With a little miniature baseball bat. Yes. Okay. Show goals. Somebody needs to Photoshop a picture of Morgan Freeman holding a miniature baseball bat for the show. After media coverage and the internet mocking the whole thing, Superintendent Hall posted an update online that said, quote, "They were distributed to our teaching staff as a symbolic reminder of the district's change in its current response from shelter in place, hide, to now include the options of running or fighting back. It's not the primary deterrent, but rather it is something that may be used in an emergency situation and symbolizes our intent to take an active approach to defending our students and staff under threat."
They're coming with a gun. What the heck are you going to do?
With a fucking bat.
Yep. And a small one.
Those like, okay, gonna... a big, like, Louisville steel bat might deflect a bullet if you hold it in the right place.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Somebody commented, my favorite comment was, somebody said, like, what are they going to do? Like, use it Jedi lightsaber style to, like, deflect the bullets back to the, like.
It's a little piece of toothpick. It ain't going to do anything up against a bullet going, oh, my gosh.
I don't know. What's going to happen is those kids are going to get a hold of that bat and hit the teacher with it.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's going to be locked in the classroom because, again, we have to lock up our weapons so that they're useless. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So this is the last story in the... Yeah, okay, good. climbing up the hill now, right? Bringing it home.
Okay.
Here's an interesting news story. Republican Governor Phil Scott of Vermont signed into law this week the state's most restrictive gun control measures ever in the history of the state. Now, this is a guy who has an A rating from the NRA. Apparently, 2 days after the Parkland shooting, police uncovered a shooter's plan to shoot up a high school in Fairhaven, Vermont, at which point the governor decided he could no longer sit back and do nothing. From the Washington Post. The realization caused him to, quote, do some soul searching. He had been a gun owner his entire life, he said. He was a hunter and a fisherman, and at home he had a safe full of guns, including the one he got when he was 13. While he was a state senator and lieutenant governor, he never felt the need to change the gun laws. He thought the state was somehow different from the others, somewhat insulated from the violence the rest of the world was seeing. Quote, "But I was wrong, and that's not always easy to admit," he said. "I support the Second Amendment, but I had to ask myself, are we truly doing everything we can to make our kids and communities safer? Because if we're at a point where our kids are afraid to go to school and parents are afraid to put them on a bus, or police don't have the tools they need to protect victims of violence, or families can't step in to prevent a loved one from taking their own life, then who are we?" Mm-hmm. Naturally, he took a ton of shit for this position. People yelled traitor and BS and told him that he'd lost their votes. Please, if you appreciate what this guy just did, turning on his own party line to act with some authenticity and care and compassion for children, go to governor.vermont.gov and send a message of support to Phil Scott, right? Let him know that the only voices out there aren't the rabble outside that's, you know, that hates him for taking the guns away.
So stupid. Excuse me, I'm adjusting my knee.
Well. So let's talk about this Vermont law. The Vermont law does this: bans the possession and sale of bump stocks. Okay. Bans the possession and sale of magazines holding more than 10 rounds for a long gun and 15 for a handgun, except for those purchased before October 1st. So the idea is, like, eventually that stuff that's, you know, out there in the community already right now will eventually become non-functional and we won't have to, you know, worry about it as much. And then nobody's coming to take your guns away, right? So this is effective today going forward, or not today, October 1st, going forward, like, this is what, you know, this is what the policy is now. Guns that are out there right now, we're not going to come after you.
You're grandfathered into whatever law was, and eventually
that'll all clear out.
Sure.
Okay. It requires that all guns must be bought and sold through a licensed firearm dealer only. except when the sale is between immediate family members. No, Michael, you're fired.
Oh, Michael.
You need to turn your volume down. The 7 second delay gives us away every time.
We'll just mute your microphone.
Except when the sale is between immediate family members. Now, I'm not sure how they're going to enforce that, like, for private sales. So, like, I could have said, hey, Michael's here for the show tonight. After the show, we turn the microphones off. Hey, man, I got a gun. You want to buy it? Who's gonna know at that point, right?
Right.
In a private sale that we have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there may be some more things you can do. But it does address that gun show loophole, right? You can't just go to a gun show and buy a gun from somebody that's set up unless they are a licensed firearm dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Buyers must be at least 21 unless they complete a state hunter safety course or are in the military or law enforcement. Okay, I can go with that. I learned to shoot a shotgun when I was 13 or something like that. My grandfather took me to a hunter safety course and we learned how to carry it and, you know, what you have to do if you're out in the woods and, you know, how you should dress for safety. And I learned all that shit. And operate, you know, I couldn't shoot for nothing though. Like we had to shoot clay pigeons and I just couldn't do it. But like, okay, I get that. Sure. Because my grandfather would have taken me hunting and I would have needed to operate it. And he may have wanted to, you know, give a gun to me for a gift. All right. That I understand. Again, on Sarah's scale of take the guns away, everybody gets guns, I'm trying to float in the middle. That's all I'm saying. Okay. And it allows for police to confiscate a gun from a person under certain circumstances. Like if you're arrested for domestic violence, they can take your gun.
Good.
Hallelujah. And then the presiding judge will determine whether or not you get it back and or when you get it back, depending on the situation. Senate Bill 221 allows the state to apply an extreme protection order, which would prohibit that person from possessing a firearm for up to 1 year, again, depending on the facts of the case. So, again, I say that was governor.vermont.gov, and go tell Phil Scott that thank you for some common sense.
Yeah.
You know? Again, like, as a Republican making those moves, that could be the nail in his political coffin.
Could be.
But, you know, you got to do what's right. Now, we haven't heard a lot about the bathroom police lately, but there's a news story lit up the internet on fire again. A drunk man entered a women's bathroom in Chicago Target store and pushed into a stall that was being used by a young girl and exposed himself. How does this connect to Target's decision 2 years ago to allow transgender people to use any bathroom or fitting room that matches their gender identity?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Totally different direction.
But that doesn't stop the swarm of hateful right-wing Christians from coming out of the woodwork again. Evangelist Franklin Graham wrote this scathing Facebook post, quote, "Why is anyone shocked? Target prides itself in its policy that allows biological men to use the women's restrooms. On Sunday, in one of their Chicago area stores, a man entered the ladies' restroom and exposed himself to a little girl who was at the store shopping with her mom. Customers interviewed were right. It's very sad. And it is so preventable. The American Family Association is calling again for a boycott of Target stores. You can sign it at some website I'm not going to share. Call the Target headquarters, let them know what you think of their decision, and you can raise your concerns, blah, blah, blah." All right, so let me respond to some of that. Please tell me how that's preventable, okay? He's trying to argue that the trans-affirming policy is the problem, except that what this guy did isn't legal. Regardless of what the store policy is, it's still illegal for an adult to go into any place and expose themselves to a child.
Yeah. Or
of
anyone.
Any gender.
Or yeah, any right. person. It's indecent exposure.
Right.
No matter how you paint it.
Oh,
I might look.
Well, yeah, but it's still illegal.
So
there's no consent.
So let's say Target did reverse the policy, right? Let's play the what if. Do you think that this drunk guy is going to go, oh, shit, they changed the policy, I better not go in there? Like,
No.
No.
He didn't do it because they allow that. He did it because he wanted to.
He was drunk. He probably didn't know where the fuck he was.
Probably not. He probably wasn't even trying to expose himself. He was probably trying to take a piss and the little girl just happened to be there.
Right.
Like, exactly.
What are you doing over here?
Oh,
you're in the wrong bathroom.
So what you can and should do is call the Target headquarters at 612-304-6073 and let them know that you support them, that you realize this policy has nothing to do with the actions of a drunk guy, and tell them that these fringe religious zealots don't speak for you. 612-304-6073. Post something positive on their Facebook, too, because I'm telling you, the crowd, mm-hmm. the South Park crowd is rabble, rabble, rabble loud.
Annoying.
Yeah. But it's almost like the common denominator is men. It's almost. Trans women aren't the danger. It's men.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll admit that, if we can get to that point where we can talk about men being a problem, then that's a good place to start a useful dialogue.
Dirty people are the problem. Inappropriate dirty people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of men behaving badly, you've probably heard the claim that it's Republican men more than any other. And I think there's decent data to back that up. But anecdotally, here's another example. another Republican governor, Eric Greitens of Missouri, is in hot water for a criminal invasion of privacy, among other things, in relation to an alleged sexual assault claim. And this week, a state House committee released a report with graphic details on those allegations. The woman who testified under oath said that Greitens took a photo of her bound and blindfolded and then used this as blackmail to prevent her from speaking out. Now, I'm not going to go into any more detail than that because it reads like a 50 Shades of Grey novel, except it's not erotic fiction. And if you want, I don't know why you would, unless maybe you're from Missouri and this is your governor. But I'll put a link to the Kansas City Star article. They posted the full report from the House committee, and you can read this for yourself. It's very graphic. Now, sometimes people tend to forgive their own kind for these transgressions a lot easier than they do the out-group, right? These Donald Trump's people are, whatever, he can grab them by the pussy and we don't care because he's doing good things for the economy, right? So it's easier to forgive your own kind. I get that. I understand that. So I want to make sure that when there is a monster in our own movement, that we talk about it.
Of course.
David Silverman was the president of American Atheists starting in 2010 and had worked with the organization since 1996. The chair of the American Atheist Board of Directors, Neil Carey, released the following statement yesterday. Last night, the American Atheist Board of Directors voted to terminate David Silverman as president of American Atheists. Board Chair Neil Carey and Vice President Kathleen Johnson will continue to fulfill the duties of the president, while National Program Director Nick Fish oversees the day-to-day operations of the organization. On April 10th, 2018, the Board of Directors placed David Silverman on leave pending a review of allegations raised regarding Mr. Silverman's conduct. The Board of Directors has reviewed internal documents and communications related to the initial complaint, as well as the evidence relating to additional findings, additional allegations brought to the board's attention. Today's announcement is based on these findings, and the board intends to cooperate with any future investigations. BuzzFeed then released an article detailing these allegations. The complaint being investigated was from staff concerned that Silverman had not disclosed financial and personal conflicts of interest relating to the promotion of his book and the appointment to a senior position of a woman with whom Silverman was allegedly having a sexual relationship. Other accounts from other women claimed that Silverman sexually assaulted them. In a statement to BuzzFeed News, Silverman's lawyer said that Mr. Silverman denies any wrongdoing and has never had non-consensual sexual encounters, adding that at the time of the alleged incidents, Silverman and his wife were in an open marriage. And of course, none of these women felt safe to come forward with their stories because Silverman is a powerful player in the atheist community and president of fucking American Atheists.
Right.
You gonna go up against that guy? Now, so I wanted to include it because I think we need to make it clear that it doesn't matter what community you're talking about, doesn't matter what group you're in, there are people who will exploit others.
There is scum among us.
Yes. people are going to use their power, whether that's actual power or perceived. No group is immune from this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we will call out that bullshit on our own side, too. Finally, the last stop on our tour of men being shitty. One of the worst types of shitty men, white nationalists.
Ugh.
Three men from rural Kansas are on trial for an involvement in a domestic terrorist plot to murder Muslim refugees.
Whoa.
Around the time of the 2016 election, Patrick Stein, Curtis Allen, and Gavin Wright were charged in a plot to use bombs on an apartment complex in Garden City where they said Somali immigrants were living. And I'm pretty sure we covered this when it happened.
It sounds familiar.
A HuffPost article describes the extensive interaction Stein had with an arms dealer who was actually an undercover FBI officer. They wrote, Stein, a right-wing militia member who thought Trump was the man, dubbed himself Orkin Man. Muslims were cockroaches, he thought, who needed to be exterminated. Now, right-wing militia member? This is your gun guy, folks. This is Captain Second Amendment. On recordings provided by the FBI, Stein said, quote, I'm sick of seeing these motherfuckers coming into this country. They're here for one reason and one reason only. And unless they did something soon, the Muslim takeover would begin. So the FBI agents build rapport with Stein over WhatsApp. They get all the dirt, and the FBI swings in and picks him up. But what's happening in court right now is what's really fascinating. Apparently, the defense attorney for the three men are trying to argue that they're just idiots, not actual terrorists, okay? During cross-examination of the undercover officer, Rich Federico, public defender representing Allen, asked why the FBI didn't inform the local police department so that they could go knock on the door and say, and I quote, hey, knucklehead, we know what you're talking about. Knock it off, end quote. It gets better. Lisa Berkauer, the Justice Department Civil Rights Division prosecutor, asked the undercover FBI agent, quote, have you ever heard of law enforcement responding to a plot to commit mass murder by going to the person's house and knocking on the door and saying, hey, knucklehead, knock it off? He said he hadn't. She asked, have you ever heard of a law enforcement officer responding to a plot to blow up a building by saying, hey, knucklehead, knock it off? He hadn't. The defense also argued that the men were hoodwinked by fake news on Facebook and then unfairly exploited by the government, i.e. the undercover agents, targeting them for their conservative beliefs. You're right, Dan. Yeah. I haven't. I will. I'll take a break to... I'm going to take a break, actually.
To booze up.
Yeah. So, okay. So let me end this right here by saying, right wing militia, let's make sure these guys are armed, right?
For sure.
These are the guys. These are your guys.
Let them have their weapons and don't lock them up.
Okay. Mm. I was going to take a break here, but I think I'm just going to roll through it.
Okay. It's your show.
Yeah. I don't know. We may take a break at some point. Maybe.
You got 11 pages.
You know what? I'm going to take a drink. So let's do this. When we come back, we're going to talk about some religious news. There's a woman who used an interesting way to wake up her son for church on Easter Sunday. That was a lot of fun. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer is back. We have lots more to get into, and we'll do that when we come back. That was loud.
That was loud.
We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Sarah Talk.
In today's health-conscious society, you have many beverage choices. But do you know what's in all of them? So much sugar, sodium, and things you can't even pronounce. Dihydrogen monoxide. What's that? Sometimes you wish you just had a simple, more elegant solution for your beverage needs. Introducing H2O, the first ever chemical-free thirst quencher. H2O is simple, simply composed of three portions of two elements, hydrogen and oxygen. H2O means chemical-free, unlike water, which is filled with all sorts of shit. When we tested H2O, we found traces of no other elements. So pure, the bottle may as well be fucking empty, with all the same nutritional content as a breath of cool mountain air. First widely featured on Goop.com, actress Gwyneth Paltrow revealed that she exclusively uses H2O for her vaginal steaming process. After all, why use water when you can steam it with H2O? So now we invite you to run out to your local garden hose and drink that shit. Remember, it's not water, it's H2O.
H2O bottled by Flint Bottling Company in Flint, Michigan. Product not actually endorsed by Goop or Gwyneth Paltrow. Please do not use H2O for vaginal steaming, or better yet, please do not steam your vagina. H2O is actually just water. Water is a set of molecular compounds. It's a chemical. Everything is a chemical.
I was feeling so alone.
I was going through a really difficult time.
I didn't want to bother anyone.
I didn't think they'd understand.
It was tough at first, but I did it.
I'm glad I asked for help.
I asked my teacher.
I asked my dad.
You can do this.
Whatever it is, ask for help.
If you're thinking about suicide or need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386. Ask for help.
Want to join the conversation or tell Sarah she's wrong? Email producer at saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. Now, more Sarah Talk.
Welcome back to Sarah Talk. So, before we get back into this, the stuff I have planned, I did want to drop some updates for y'all. We are starting to add the video archives of these Facebook Live shows on our Patreon. So what happens now is after the live show, the video comes down like it always does. We take the video away right away from Facebook. And then we are going to be posting that to Patreon for patrons at the $10 per episode level or higher. So we've already put on episode 101. That was the first one that I put up. And if I get time, if there's an interest, maybe I'll put some of the old ones up too, like some of the, maybe not all of them. It's a lot of work.
Yes.
But at least going forward, that's where the videos will be. Become a patron for as little as a dollar an episode to get you access to the special feed where every episode is available before the general listenership, and the breaks like that, we delete them out. And I want to tell you how it benefits us. In addition to the time and effort we put into the show each week, I mean, I don't tell my boss. I spend a lot of time researching the show. Spent a lot of time researching for the show and typing up some notes. The credit card bills that I'm still paying for this table.
Yeah.
The studio table is really fucking expensive, and I'm still paying for it. And we like to get out of the studio and get into the community, too. We are confirmed for Polk Pride again.
Woohoo! Are you coming this year?
Polka Pride! I do polka there?
Sure.
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah, if you want. Do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. It's not nearly as big as Orlando Pride.
Yeah, it's...
So your calves won't be killing you when it's over.
Okay. So Polk Pride is Saturday, June 16th. That's a local Pride event in Lakeland, Florida. Your patron dollars are helping us pay for the booth space and the electricity so that we can go out and do events like this. And speaking of our calendar, so Polk Pride is on June 16th. The following weekend is Pride 48's streaming weekend that we did last year, and we're hoping to be a part of that again this year. That is pride48.com, their network that is a bunch of different queer podcasters part of the network. And for the streaming weekend, it's like nonstop 48 hours of us all broadcasting, right? One show after another, nonstop for 48 hours.
Just hang that on the door of the salon and you'll be good.
What's
your free pass.
They're closed for Polk Pride.
Yeah. It says Polka Pride.
Polka.
That's great.
They're going to be like, what? They don't do anything for celebration, but they go to Polk County.
Well, you live in Polk County now.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Just saying.
So no big details yet on the Pride 48 weekend, other than we can announce that it starts Friday the 22nd and goes through Saturday night, June 24th. 48 hours of LGBTQ podcast and podcasters. It's a lot of fun. So mark your calendars. We'll give you more information when we have it. Okay. Art Bell died yesterday.
Who's that?
Art Bell is he was this crazy alien guy who like lived in a trailer out in the desert, big into Area 51 and aliens and the cover-ups and the but he broadcast the show out of like a tin can in the middle of the desert.
What did he die from?
In the middle of the night on AM radio. So rewind, back when Sarah was working in radio, one of my first jobs in talk radio, I had to monitor the station overnight. I did weekend overnights. And Art Bell's Coast to Coast was like 3 hours of that broadcast, right? And I was just making sure that the computer was doing what it's supposed to do and playing the commercials when it's supposed to play them. So like I would just sit there and listen to the weirdest shit that I'd ever heard. No, I didn't research a whole lot of what happened with him. Died at his Nevada home at 72.
Oh, he was old.
Yeah. Oh, 72? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He died of oldness.
He created the show.
Well, 72 is not really old.
Well, it is for some people. It depends on what kind of life you've lived.
Yeah. He created the show in 1993. Was the most listened to overnight radio program. I could agree with that.
The most? I thought that was, what's his name with all that?
Overnight?
Yeah. Overnight? Who?
What's his name? All the sex talk and stuff.
I don't know.
What's his name?
I don't know who you're talking about. I don't listen to overnight radio.
Autopsy was scheduled for later this week.
He wasn't overnight. Was he overnight? No.
Anyway, so they haven't determined the cause of death, but old is probably part of it.
It's probably oldness. Okay. I'm sure it wasn't an alien probe.
Ooh, I've been probed.
Dan wants us to turn on the sound effects to the coasters.
Oh, gosh.
So that the audio podcast listeners can play along. So Dan's Sarah Talk drinking game.
He's expanding his game idea.
Every time the coaster lights up, you have to take a drink.
You got to actually put something on it, though. Okay.
My cup is empty. Yeah. What the heck is that?
Wrong sci-fi series. That I think that would get
really
old
annoying
after a while. Yeah.
This is a game.
Because it's not just when you put it down, it's when you pick it up too.
Yeah. Yeah, it turned out.
I was okay with the light up thing. I didn't know this was a game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so for those who are watching on the Facebook Live, when a coaster lights up, you take a drink.
Yeah.
Okay. So
your cup is empty and you're only drinking water.
It's really cool when you put like a cool color, like orange juice.
Yeah, it lights up lights up the drink.
The Mountain Dew looks like an alien drink in here if it's in a solid glass. It's really cool.
The Tennessee House of Representatives passed a measure last year that would change their state constitution to say, quote, "We recognize that our liberties do not come from the government, but from Almighty God." The resolution moved forward in the Senate last week, being cleared by a Senate Judiciary Committee with 6 yay votes and not a single no vote.
Where was Simon Cowell?
Now, amending the Constitution is a big fucking deal, okay? So let's say this thing moves forward in the Senate. It would have to pass by a majority during this current General Assembly, then pass by at least 2/3 next year, then it would have to be approved by voters during a gubernatorial election year, which is 2022. So it's a lot of work to make make an amendment to their state constitution. Okay. But so it seems unlikely. But did I mention this is Tennessee? Just saying. The next story comes out of Arizona. but if this woman moved to Florida, she would be in the running for our Florida segment. 40-year-old Sharon Dobbins was arrested after getting a little too filled with the spirit while waking up her son for Easter church service.
Oh, God, this can't end well.
Her son, who is the winner in this story, didn't want to go to Easter service. He wanted to hang out with his friends instead. I can't say that I blame him. In an interview with KNXV, Dobbins said,
"Get up, it's Jesus Day."
Did you tase your son?
No, I made the noise with the taser. But I did not tase my son.
Except the police say they found two marks on the teen's leg.
It was from Jesus.
Whoa.
He was like, "Mom, I'm calling the police." I said, "You can call police, UPS, DPS, whoever you want to call."
UPS?
And I told the dispatcher, I told her, I said, "You need to be with Jesus right now."
Told the dispatcher, "You need to be with Jesus right now." And here's where, yet again, allowing this ridiculous ideology into the realm of acceptable becomes a major problem for society.
"I don't think I did anything wrong, because you're supposed to put God first. And that's all I was trying to tell my kids, put God first. I tell my sons this, honor thy mother, thy father, or the days will be shortened. That's my favorite."
That's my favorite, she says.
"All the days will be shortened.
I'll kill you with a taser, boy."
That's my favorite.
What the hell? Are you fucking... You know, okay. My mom, on Sunday morning, when we weren't getting out of bed, and Russell can attest to this, she pit us against each other. Whoever was the first one out of bed got to go dump a glass of ice cold water on the one that was still in bed. And I thought that was bad, but at least she didn't have a taser.
Right?
Jesus. Literally.
Dobbins was charged with one count of child abuse with intent to cause harm. And I would just like to submit the following statement to the jury. Putting God first is not a great idea. Can we just not? Let's not. Speaking of archaic Iron Age religious nonsense, this story comes from the garbage state of Texas.
Ooh, Texas.
Oh, all the way from Texas.
16-year-old Marib al-Hishmawi was reported missing on January 30th, having been last seen leaving Taft High School, where she was a student. Her father claimed she may have been kidnapped and pleaded for her return, but once Marib was found in mid-March, having been taken in by an organization after running away, the dark details started pouring out. Mm. According to Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar, the girl's family had arranged for her to marry a man in another city and that a sum of $20,000 would be exchanged.
Whoa.
"Just want to let anybody know if they want to marry me for only 15 or 10.
Or best offer.
Dollars. Just dollars.
That I am free anytime between now and then."
I missed you.
I come with a small dog.
We'll filter those applications for you if you'd like. If you want to send your application to producer at saratalk.com, we'll filter those through and send you only the best.
I do hair.
Right.
You'll
right?
always be styling.
Listen, your pubes will look so good.
Okay, now, if you're not furious yet, which you should be, hold on. Salazar said, quote, "This young lady at various times over that time period was subjected to some pretty bad abuse because she didn't want to be married to this person. Several times it was reported to us that this young lady was abused with hot cooking oil being thrown on her body. She was beat with broomsticks. At least at one point, she was choked almost to the point of unconsciousness. The FBI was called in to assist the investigation due to al-Hishmawi's ethnicity and help the sheriff's office navigate language barriers and understand cultural aspects of the Iraqi girl's life." Now, here's some cultural knowledge for you.
Yeah, I don't want any of that. See, I'm not,
no.
That's going to have to put in the contract.
Right?
No abuse.
Right? Women, especially your children,
right,
are not property. I don't give a fuck what your old dusty desert scribe said. You do not sell your children into marriage.
And don't give them any of the cash?
You don't smack them with a stick. You don't pour hot oil on them. They're your children, for fuck's right? sake.
That's fucked up.
Marib and her five siblings, between the ages of 5 and 15, are now in the custody of Child Protective Services, and her parents were charged with continuous violence against a family member and taken into custody. They were later released on separate $30,000 bonds each.
That's not enough. No. Especially when there's a $20,000 bribe out for their daughter. That's, oh my God.
What'll happen is the husband will pay half of it and leave the wife in there.
Yeah, there you go. Jerk. Probably, it wouldn't surprise me.
There you go. Aaron sent us.
Oh my gosh, Aaron, you're fast.
Right?
I've been told.
I missed it. I can't.
It says, you think you can terrorize my school with your AR-15? I'm about to tear you a new asshole with my tiny novelty baseball bat. Batter up, motherfucker.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh, I love it.
That's amazing.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Aaron. That's amazing.
Oh, it's so good. So this girl in this story, she's my new hero. Got out of the house.
Right.
Ran away, got to safety, found an organization that would take her in and help her. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Ugh.
That's awful.
Yep.
So can Morgan Freeman take that baseball bat and
down to this family?
Down to this family and rip their...
Rip a hole in their ass.
Yeah, whatever. You know, saying.
But again, like, you know... This is what happens when, if you allow, and I don't want to be one of the slippery slope peoples, but once you allow this is my religious belief, so it's okay, on things that aren't harmful, directly right. harmful to others, then that gives credibility to the terrible shit like right. this, that you say, well, that's just our culture, that's our religion, that's what my beliefs are.
Your culture is to sell your kids and torture them?
Happened every day in Old Testament.
Yeah.
And in the Quran, Jesus.
I don't want to study any of that.
No, I'm telling you. Disgusting.
Look at this face. I mean, come on, oil?
Okay. Michael, you might appreciate this next story.
About semen?
When is a coach not a coach?
Oh, Jesus.
When it's disgraced former high school football coach turned internet pastor Dave Dobenmeyer. He's probably one of my favorite, like, batshit crazy evangelicals to make fun of, because this guy is just out there. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Masturbation is homosexuality.
What?
Masturbation is homosexuality. Now, let him explain.
You're having sex with a man.
What?
You get it? Now, you're putting images of a woman in your mind. But you're having sex with a man.
Playing with your penis, you see, is having sex with a man. So that's gay.
What?
I mean, I'm gay, but
right?
My penis is me, not another guy.
Stay with it.
That's where the devil will take us if we give him free reign in our minds. That's why I said in the commentary that I wrote yesterday, I don't know if I have time to read it, and I don't know if I should read it.
No, please don't. Lord, please don't read it.
Sex is a behavior, guys. It's a behavior. An orgasm. Oh, do I have to say that, Lord?
Oh. Like, he gets the ickies just saying the word orgasm. Orgasm, orgasm, orgasm! Like, it's Beetlejuice. Like, what's going to happen if he's going to say it?
There's milk everywhere.
He probably doesn't like the word vagina either.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not.
I don't like the word vagina either.
Well,
okay. This just sounds awful. I just got to say it. Sometimes one of the greatest feelings that you could ever have is a bowel movement.
Yeah, well, I can agree with that. When I take a shit, it tickles me a little bit. As a kid, I was confused. As an adult, I am excited. I'm like, it's time to shit.
Oh my God.
Well, I see you're going to connect with this. I'm glad you're here. Listen.
You guys ever had one of those moments where you thought you could never get home? If I, man, I'm holding it. I got to get home again. You run in the house and the relief that comes. Well, is that feeling any different than the relief that you get when you have an orgasm?
I don't know, but I'm getting a stiffy.
Keep it over there.
Oh, man. I don't know. If you saw this guy, you'd probably lose it.
Well, don't do it.
I don't have a slide whistle sound effect, or I would play it right now. Note to self, slide whistle sound effect. Okay.
Both of them are temporary releases and feelings of pleasure. One is associated with sex and one isn't. They are bodily functions. Oh, man. Don't laugh at me. You know I'm telling you the truth.
Now I just want to go home and take a shit.
Like, at the end there, I almost feel like he was making
a joke.
They're both bodily functions. So my next statement would be like, so then there's nothing bad with orgasm. There's nothing bad with masturbating. It's a bodily function.
So I can masturbate and shit at the same time.
But he like starts here and ends up, I don't know. I just don't understand.
I wonder what that would be like.
Let's stop it.
Couldn't tell you.
Okay. Of course, who cares what an old white Christian man thinks about masturbating or being gay? Masturbation is generally a healthy exercise for a person to learn about themselves, to at least know what to communicate to their partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stress reliever, generally not harmful. So maybe the better question is, when can masturbation be harmful? Answer. When you're a 42-year-old Maryland pastor caught masturbating in front of dozens of teenage girls.
Oh, my God.
That's to be definitely.
Glenn Travis Strickler, who listed his occupation as pastor in court documents, was arrested and charged with indecent exposure. The students, ages 15 to 17, shocked, said they saw Strickler driving alongside the bus with his penis in his hand, smiling and looking at the girls while masturbating. One of the girls took out her phone to record some evidence. Police said the video showed his face and penis and also showed the license plate of the black Honda Civic, which was registered in his name. So, police roll up at his house, and when confronted, he denied knowing anything about masturbating in front of a bus of teenage girls. That is, until police showed him the video of himself masturbating in front of a bus of teenage girls. Quote, "Well, yeah, that's me," he admitted. He told police he remembered the outfit he was wearing that day because he'd worn it while conducting a funeral earlier that day. He also told police he knew he hadn't finished because he didn't have to clean up. Strickler was charged with 13 counts of indecent exposure.
But he didn't finish, so does it count?
Yes.
Yep, it does.
Yes, it does. Now, in researching for the story, I thought, as you might have all, where is this guy a pastor and what does his flock think? Well, his LinkedIn profile led me to a pastorglenn.org, which looks like it was created in 1998 with paint shop. It appears he doesn't preside over a church, but lists his business as pastoral services. Mm. Pastoral services provided by Pastor Glenn, offering premarital counseling and weddings, pulpit supply and guest solos, singer too, memorial services and funerals. It has his contact information, though it does say in a 1998 style font graphic, quote, "This website is under construction." Who puts that on your website anymore? "This website is under construction. Contact Pastor Glenn with any needs." Obviously, he really means any needs.
Wow.
Yes. Now.
Holy.
That guy exhausts me.
Crap.
Dan says Becca looks completely repulsed.
I am.
Yes.
I am. I'm like, what the hell?
Right? Okay, bringing it home.
All right. We got something good?
The best stories start with
two in the pink and one in the stink.
I love you, Michael.
I don't know. That sounds like maybe the middle or the maybe near the end of the story. A Florida woman was arrested last month on drug possession charges when Fort Pierce police pulled over the vehicle, which was swerving in the roadway. According to a police report, an officer approached the car and smelled an odor of marijuana coming from inside. While performing a search of the vehicle, officers found marijuana and cocaine in separate bags inside 26-year-old Kenesha Posey's purse. Police asked about the drugs, and Posey admitted the marijuana was hers, but, quote, "I don't know anything about any cocaine. It's a windy day. It must have flown through the window and into my purse." End quote.
She was searching, and she didn't get anything close to what could have happened. Woo.
How high was she?
She was way up there.
Yeah, the weed's mine, but I don't know where the cocaine came from. It flew right in the window.
He was out there. Oh, man.
Posey was booked into county jail on one felony count of cocaine possession and a misdemeanor count of marijuana possession, later released on bond.
What, they didn't believe her?
Oh, no. Wow.
I thought she was clear.
Where's the girls on the bus with the video of the cocaine flying into the windows? To
masturbation, cocaine, we got everything.
Okay, the second story in our Florida Man, we have three tonight.
Oh,
story number two. A 17-year-old student at University High School in Orange City was arrested last week after he bit the head off of a chicken on campus over the weekend.
Oh, God.
A school resource officer, after hearing about a student bragging about biting off a chicken's head, arrested the teen on charges of animal cruelty and trespassing on school property. Andrew Gant, spokesperson for the Volusia County Sheriff's Office, said, quote, "Upon arriving at campus on Monday, a teacher discovered the headless body of a chicken in the parking lot. The chicken's head was later discovered inside the chicken coop, and eggs had been thrown at the gym against the gym doors. The chicken coop was part of a farm-to-table event that had been held earlier in the day." Move over, Tide Pod Challenge.
Right.
I swear to God, you should never bite.
Oh, my gosh. That just gives me a gag reflex, and I don't usually get one of those.
You're right, Michael. You never should bite that off the cock.
Gosh.
Oh, what? My gosh.
He could have caught a disease.
Mad chicken disease.
Oh, my God. I think he already had a disease if he was willing to bite the head off.
Yeah, right?
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And the third and final story in the Florida Man tonight, 38-year-old Altamont Springs woman, Siobhan Perez, asked her boyfriend to fix a leaking pipe in her bathroom.
You've been waiting to do that all night, haven't
I have,
you?
While he was at her apartment for Easter dinner. But while he was fixing the pipe, he noticed Perez holding a container. According to a police report, he asked her what was inside the container, and Perez replied, "It's gasoline, you son of an expletive," which I can only assume to be son of a bitch. "You're going to pay," and began spraying the man with gasoline. What? The ex-boyfriend soon noticed he was on fire and began taking his clothes off. God, this story is just getting
just
really
horny. Was she horny?
Really, this, yeah, I think so. Take off your clothes.
I'll burn it off for you.
"It's getting hot in here, so take off." No? Okay.
Sorry.
Perez was locking the door to prevent him from leaving the now burning apartment while spraying more gasoline all over the living room. The man was taken to ORMC with severe burns on his face, chest, arm, and hand. And if that all sounds pretty tragic, it is. But what makes this story part of our Florida Man segment tonight is this. Before firefighters arrive to the apartment, Perez realizes, "Oh, fuck, I forgot my dog in there." Ran back into the burning apartment to save it. Police said she suffered from smoke inhalation and had to be intubated and sedated at ORMC. She's being held at the Orange County Jail without bond on charges of attempted homicide, arson, and kidnapping.
I'm confused. So he was just trying to fix
ex-boyfriend.
Her pipes?
Mm-hmm. Ex-boyfriend trying to lay some fix her pipes.
And then she's all like, "Oh, fuck,
I'm going to murder you.
I'm just going to.
I'm going to burn you.
You didn't do the pipes right."
Well,
Right.
Wow.
Yes.
That's just evil.
That just took a turn.
But you know what? That tells me that somewhere karma works faster in some situations than others.
Cause... What happened to the dog?
Yeah, right?
That poor thing was stuck in the middle of that.
Yeah, no word on the dog. All right. Your choices tonight. A very blustery day indeed. That's not how you choke the chicken. Or you're going to pay, my pretty, and you're... Oh, shit, my dog! Vote now.
I'm voting for the flying cocaine.
Okay.
Michael?
I like the cocaine.
Yeah.
Oh, we have him on tape now everybody saying likes I cocaine. Like cocaine.
I love cocaine. Because that's just ridiculous. Like,
yeah, it's lighthearted and ridiculous, right. not vile and disgusting. And what kind of evil people
like
live
was
in Florida?
Grasping for whatever she had, and she had nothing.
Yeah,
right. All right. As usual, I'm going to forego my vote for the Facebook group. So head to saratalk.com and click on our Facebook group link, and you can become part of our fantastic group and vote. I'll put the poll up as soon as we're done with the show here tonight.
Ooh, we're gonna be a poll.
There's a poll.
Strippers are coming.
All right, now I want to round out the show tonight with the following. We are actually, I don't know if you know this all or not, we're actually in the end times. Did you guys know this?
What's the end times?
It's the end times. So Jesus is coming back. Get ready for the rapture, okay?
All right.
The earth will be destroyed April 23rd.
April 23rd.
Yeah, April 23rd. Now,
this year?
Now, yes. Now, don't let that stop you from becoming a patron at patreon.com/saratalk. But without going too far back in time.
And, you might want to give a little bit extra just in case.
Yes, right.
And we're building a bunker. If you give me your patron, you can come into the bunker with us.
We're taking $15,000 per patron. For your safety. How much do you love your family?
For a $10 per episode goal, you can come into the bunker with us. Okay, I'm sorry. I totally derailed your whole thing there.
No, you're fine. So without going too far back in history, because there have been very, very many, and I'm skipping many, many of these. Pope Sylvester II predicted January 1st, 1000, as the millennium apocalypse at the end of the Christian millennium, which that last part had been accurate. Others predicted 1033 as 1,000 years after Jesus' death rather than 1,000 years after his birth. Pope Innocent III predicted 1284 as 666 years after the rise of Islam to be the end of the world. Martin Luther predicted the end of the world would be no later than 1600. Explorer and rapist Christopher Columbus said 1656, then later changed it to 1658. 1666 was really popular, 666. Jumping ahead, and seriously, I'm skipping. So there's so many of these predictions that we're skipping. The Shakers said 1792, then 1794. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, said that Revelation 12:14 referred to the year 1058 to 1836-ish as when Christ would come. Herbert Armstrong, founder of the Worldwide Church of God, said the rapture would take place in 1936, then changed the date three more times after being wrong. Jehovah's Witnesses claimed 1941, then 1975, because that would be 6,000 years since man's creation, they calculated with their brains. In 1976, Pat Robertson of the 700 Club claimed 1982 as the end of the world. Nostradamus predicted we were going to party like it's 1999. And of course, fear around the Y2K computer bug that never happened fed into 1999 as the end of society. January 1st, 2000 was predicted by Jerry Falwell, Isaac Newton, and many others. Pat Robertson again with a correction. Now, April 29th, 2007. All those predictions and many, many others that I didn't mention, too numerous to count, those were all wrong.
They have something in common. Wrong.
But Monday, April 23rd, 2018, though, that's it. April 23rd, 2018. That's the day.
I'm still keeping my appointments that day. That's it. I'm not changing.
Hey, at least they'll go out looking damn good.
Yeah. Revelation 12, 1 through 2 reads, quote, "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and crying out in birth, pains in the agony of giving birth," end quote. Some believe that Virgo is the woman from the passage, since the sun and moon will be in Virgo, as will Jupiter, which represents the Messiah. Now, personally, I think all of this either gives some credence to the idea that the Bible stories were adapted from pre-Christian myths, mm-hmm. right? The stars, and right? Or that it's all just fucking nonsense.
I don't know. Virgo. I'm a Virgo. Maybe I should believe it.
I'm telling you. Apparently, this alignment happens every 12 years. But this time, there's another planetary alignment which represents the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. If this isn't absurd enough yet, meet David Mead. He predicts the mythological planetary system known as Planet X, or Nibiru, will appear in the sky on April 23rd, which then passes the Earth in October, starting the rapture with huge volcanic eruptions. Okay, listen. At what point do we have enough data to say that all of this is just bullshit?
I think from all the proof that we've had from many of those people on that paper.
Mm-hmm. That, lots of people on the paper.
It's all shit.
That were wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
You lose, you win nothing.
So here's what I think would be fun.
I'm really disappointed in this.
Why?
I was really hoping there was going to be like a payoff.
No.
There's no payoff.
No, the payoff.
Death, but they're done.
The payoff is we all die.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, but I was really hoping for the punchline.
No, we
like,
do know when. It's like, April 23rd.
Like, Jesus is, because Jesus is coming. Jesus. Is that when the new Jesus sex tapes are going
to
be released? Like, that's, I don't know.
Jesus had a sex tape?
That's what I'm saying. He was coming.
I bet you it was freaking huge.
Huge.
Well, he was perfect, so.
Like an 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is perfect?
11 would be too big for that. I would say in like a nice 9.
Depends on how you're going to use it.
Yeah, that's true.
Depends on what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do this. Let's play a fun little game.
Ooh.
I want to hear from you, the listener. How would you be celebrating the rapture? Okay. Do you have things you want to finish before the end? Or does that stuff even matter anymore? And we know the end is coming. Why bother? Maybe you'll be up on a rooftop with a sign that says, take me home.
Take me home.
It's not Monday. It's Tuesday.
I know what Michael's going to do. He's going to experiment. With masturbating and taking a shit at the same time.
No, that's going to be tonight.
Oh, that's tonight.
But I'll let you know. I'll comment on this video.
I don't need to know. Okay. Anyway.
What would you do? Like, you know, what would you do the last day?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'd just stay home with my family.
So I wrote it wrong twice.
We're making pancakes.
It is a Monday. Yeah, right? It's a Monday. So like, should we bother even going into work?
I'm off.
Right?
You're off. You can do whatever you want.
You don't have to call free.
And dead. maybe you'll just want to rest up before whatever happens.
There's probably going to be a big run or something. You know, the earth might split. You have to like jump over rocks and shit.
Volcanic eruptions.
Dead. If it's, I can't even barely walk. I'm not jumping on any. Right,
we're just pushing in.
I'm just going to go, here I am.
Okay, so let us know. Tweet at Sarah Talk Radio. Post in our Facebook group, Sarah Talk Podcast Listeners. Send an email to producer@saratalk.com or leave a voicemail at 224-40-SARAH. SarahTalk.com has all these ways to contact us, and we'll feature your rapture plans on the next and apparently final episode of Sarah Talk.
Next
week before the rapture.
All right, I gotta be here.
Yeah, right?
It could be the last one.
The last show. Oh, God. Okay. So I want to, before we go, I want to give a big warm welcome to Eric. Eric is our newest patron.
Yes, welcome, Eric.
Thank you so much for joining us on our journey here. And thanks to all of our patrons at patreon.com/saratalk that help us pay for all the things that we have to pay for in order to make this thing happen. Next week.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
She's got a poop.
Aaron says, if the rapture happened, I'd jump on a stranger's back and scream, you ain't going anywhere.
Get over here.
Oh, my God.
Back in your house.
Okay. So next week, We are planning to talk with the executive director of Life Ring, which is a secular recovery program, about the program and how religion can play a role in how successful recovery can be for some people. And we've talked about this before, right? The concern of having a higher power as part of the, you know, mm-hmm. the requirement for going into a recovery. And if you're not a spiritual or a religious person, like, does that ostracize you from the does that affect your ability to successfully recover from your addiction? And he has a personal journey to share with us about his own involvement in 12-step programs that, that kind of, I guess, led to him creating this secular alternative. Right. So we'll also be taking your calls and hear about your own experience with 12-step programs or alternatives. So if you have an experience with a recovery program, get with us. We can pre-record something if you don't want to, you know, if you're not able to call in on the live on the show, we can probably arrange some time during the week to get on and record a little bit with you that we can play back on next week's show. But I'm really interested in hearing, you know, what your experiences have been, those of you who have dealt with addiction recovery programs. You know, like we'll learn about Life Ring, you know, they don't really distinguish between alcoholism and like drug addiction, because addiction is addiction, right? It's mm-hmm. how the body and the brain process that, you know. So so what you're addicted to is not necessarily as important as what addiction is, right? So they don't distinguish, you know, it's not like, oh, Alcoholics Anonymous has to be, you're addicted to alcohol only, addiction. Right? So they kind of look at it as a broader thing. And I've been addicted to the nicotine most of my life. And I've been fighting that for a really long time. And I never went to like group therapy program or a 12-step program to get off of that. And I think part of that is because they don't take like cigarettes seriously as, oh, that's not a serious addiction, except that it causes cancer and kills millions of people. But okay, right? You know what I mean? Like they don't, that's not really considered. So that wasn't an avenue available to me as someone who was trying to stop smoking. So I don't have any personal experience. I don't have a dog in the fight. I have some biased opinions of what I think because of my lack of religion, what I think about it. But I want to hear from people who have actually gone through it mm-hmm. and see what your experiences have been. So get a hold of us, producer@saratalk.com, 224-40-SARAH. Let us know if you want to be a part of next week's show.
It could be the last show.
Could be the last one.
You never know. Be there or be squashed.
Could be the last one, but probably
be
not.
Be squashed.
Be squashed.
All right. That's all next week. Tune in Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, live on Facebook. Follow the Saratalk page. Join our group to get live notifications. Be part of the show. Michael, thanks for coming in again tonight.
Thank
we love you.
You.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to Saratalk.
Saratalk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/saratalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/saratalkradio and on Twitter @saratalkradio. Saratalk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.